I in Tron? Go ahead.
Cut!
No, just keep it going. Keep going, keep going. All right. We're doing it live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sons of Atherton and... Welcome to Sons of Atherton. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Sons of Atherton Fantasy Football Radio. I am Ed Fowler, and I am joined today with John Smith.
Great to be here, Ed. Thanks for having me.
And our commissioner, Mr. Greg Phillips.
Thank you very much.
So we are a different kind of fantasy football podcast because we spend most of our time talking shit to each other. So kick back and enjoy the show. And speaking of enjoy the show, we are going to begin a new tradition this evening with an inaugural fireball toast. Gentlemen.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
To the Defense, sons of Atherton.
To the sons of Atherton. Atherton.
Oh, that burns.
That's smooth.
Oh, God.
I can't feel my legs.
That's I know why they call it fireball.
All right. So also speaking of enjoying the show, I enjoyed the show that my fantasy football team, the Wayward Sons, put on this past weekend. It was quite impressive. I had a great time watching James Conner out there showing up Lev Bell. Lev who? Lev Bench. Mm-hmm. Lev Bench. John, how about you? How did your team do?
I had an up and down day. Started out up. Kamara was great. Vikings defense was great. And then it was all downhill from there. Devontae Adams got hurt. Fournette went down with a hammy. And then there was an Aaron Rodgers thing, which I think you all saw. In fact, I left that game at halftime. I couldn't take it anymore. My team was in shambles, on fire. I left at halftime and went home. Aaron Rodgers shows up again on one leg.
That was amazing.
Throws for, I don't know, 1,000 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second half to win it. Heroic performance. It was fantastic. So I have mixed results. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about this. I've got a lot of injuries after this week. I did get the win.
Yes, you got
it. But I may have lost the season.
I don't know.
No, but Greg, I want to know. I want to know. Did you enjoy your show?
So, you know, as John was going on and on about his great victory, I was on the receiving end of that victory. It was not pretty.
The pounding.
And actually, the pounding began on Thursday evening.
So that now he has to wear reading glasses.
You can't see this on the podcast, but I am turning 40. I've turned 45, so I've turned the corner of needing reading glasses. Anyway, we just lost about 20 listeners on our podcast.
I'm not even listening.
That's half of our listeners. So on Thursday night, it all started off with an abysmal performance by Matt Ryan. Got me 8.8 points. It was absolutely atrocious. But hey, I'm an optimistic guy, right?
Sure.
Glass half full.
Yeah.
I got Stafford.
Yeah.
He's going to pull me out. He'll make up for that,
yeah,
Ryan.
Stafford.
That guy's money.
Yeah. Yeah, and he goes out on Monday night against the Jets and makes them look like the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. He throws 4 picks. Granted, he got 286 yards, but there is a problem in Detroit.
Yes.
There is a big problem, yes. And it starts right at the top.
With the bearded wonder, Matt Patricia.
So Matt Patricia, looking at all of the feedback and like everything on the news, I feel like week one, he's almost lost the team.
Yeah, the word out of Detroit is not positive. Sounds like the team is not happy with how they were treated during training camp. It's not looking good. So how long do you think they give him? If he's already lost the team, theoretically, how long do you think they give him? What did they sign?
You keep that. He's got a lot of money coming to him, so you cannot fire a coach after 1 week. So I'd say they're giving the season if he just completely sucks for the whole season.
Yeah.
My guess is he will.
I completely agree. And all of my biases aside, being as though he's a former New England Patriot coach,
Well, but you right there, you hit the nail on the head just even saying that. Like, he's trying to bring a way of coaching football that worked in New England that
right.
does not translate.
It doesn't translate to a fairly undisciplined team. You know, Caldwell had a totally different vibe. He was a rah-rah, positive influencer. But he has come in, he's dropped the hammer, and you can't see it, but I'm channeling my inner Matt Patricia. I got my pencil in my ear right now because this guy has completely lost the team in week one. When you look at the sidelines, you see people with their shoulders down. You look at what Stafford's performance, the team just wasn't up for the game.
Yeah.
So that's enough about me. My team stunk it up.
They did.
My best player was Emmanuel Sanders, and that's pretty sad when you have David Johnson on your roster.
Well, yeah, that is sad. That is very sad. For those of you who don't know, Kamish had the very first pick of our draft. And yep. he went with David Johnson.
And I don't regret that at all. I think things are yet to come.
But
this guy is a proven commodity. He's going to be fine.
You did hear that he actually only did like kind of half of a practice today, right? Because of his back?
Yeah. Yeah. We're not worried about the back. It's like the whole thing with the wrist. You know, the legs run the ball. I think we'd established this in the last podcast.
You don't need your back.
The legs run the ball.
How important could a back be?
Of course, anytime you hear of an injury, that makes you a little nervous. A lot of injuries around the league right now.
Yeah.
Half of them were on my roster.
Yeah.
Was that before the game or before the weekend or after?
It was painful to watch, but some of my top talent is banged up this week. They may all play, but I'm not sure if you can start them because you think, how long are they going to be out there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, not only did you have the McKinnon beforehand,
yep.
You had Leonard Fournette with the hammy.
Yep.
You had the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Granted, it was a heroic, but who knows if he's going to sit out for a week or two.
I hope they sit that guy.
And
they need to. I mean, they really should. They really should take the week off. What are they going up against, the Vikings?
Yeah. If I'm the coach, I'm like, you're sitting this week, and we'll get by not very well, and we'll lose, but we'll get by with this Deshaun Kizer guy.
Yeah.
Your team is like a MASH unit right now. In fact, I think if Chris Hogan might have played better if he was injured.
Oh, my God, Hogan.
Oh, Hogan.
He pooped in his big boy pants.
To borrow
from some other. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm not worried about Chris Hogan. I drafted him high. I expect him to do well this year.
So I gotta ask one question, though, Kamish. You and I have a water bet going right now.
Oh, we do, don't we?
We do, at least.
You
want
to remind the viewers what the water bet is?
Our viewers, yes. For those of you watching your phone, as the minutes and seconds tick by.
Yeah.
Commission, I...
How long does this podcast go anyway?
Commission, I have a water bet on Kenyon Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake. Kamish believes that Drake will be a top 10 running back.
Bullshit.
This season.
I stand by what I said earlier. I completely believe he's going to recover. So, for those of you that may not know or weren't paying attention, there was a 7.5-hour game played in Miami against Tennessee.
Yeah.
There is no game script that can possibly prepare you for a 7.5-hour football game. There were two lightning storm interruptions of 1.5 hours and 2.5 hours. I think it was a game script and a flow. When you roll back the tape, the more electric back was definitely Kenyon Drake, but they basically didn't play him in the fourth quarter. And I think that the game script had something to do with that. So I'm not worried about week two against the Jets. Not at all.
You sure?
I'm totally sure.
You're starting him this week?
Good performance this past.
I'm absolutely starting Drake with confidence.
Hmm.
Because if Drake runs through it, Drake is running through Miami.
That feels like a new segment title. With confidence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So this, I think later on we're going to talk about, you know, maybe some overreactions and some of the waiver wire activity. But,
or we can talk about it right now.
You know, this is 1 week is not a real snapshot of how the whole season's going to go.
Wait,
I think
what?
There's a lot of overreaction.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you got 1 week, and if you look at the preseason this year, these teams didn't even play their starters
no,
for
they
all
didn't.
Four of the games.
They didn't.
And so this was basically like the dress rehearsal. You see people grabbing their legs and gassed on the sidelines, taking oxygen. I mean, this was basically you ask these players to come off a bench. They haven't played a down, even in preseason, and you ask them to go full tilt for four quarters. This isn't reality.
Yeah. Most of the, I think over the course of at least the first three preseason games, they played their starters like one drive.
Seriously.
That's it. And then they benched them, which I get, but it's also why you end up with, you know, opening weekends like what we just saw this past week. And then it's what puts fantasy football managers into tilt mode.
Yeah.
And making stupid moves.
Yeah, let's bring one up right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Go for it, John.
I'd like to go after Mr. Bulls on Parade.
Joel, what did you do, Joel?
Who dropped Derek Carr after 1 week.
What?
I know.
After 1 week?
Derek Carr is not my favorite quarterback. He went 20 for 24 in the first half. Sure, he threw up that horrific interception in the second half. It was ugly. And I'm not a big fan of John Gruden coming back and bringing back 80s-style football. But Derek Carr should be on your roster in a 2QB league.
Who did he pick up?
I believe,
so he dropped Derek Carr, so he must have picked up somebody. That
he's
was
an
like,
awesome player. I think
an
he's
amazing
just,
quarterback.
I think he's just brown-nosing our commissioner, the Miami Dolphin fan. He picked up Ryan Tannehill.
Wait, is he still in the league?
Excellent
yes.
pick.
Yes,
I think that was a stellar pick. Way to go,
is
Joel.
Is he a starter, or is this like a bench play? Like, oh, maybe he'll get the start.
No. Joel had a really great week, okay?
Yes.
And Joel tends to be a bad front runner. As soon as his team went large, and he had a bunch of huge overperformances, all of a sudden, he's the Oracle of Atherton. He starts
going out to you, Joel.
Fucker is trolling me on our chat line. Like, oh, it's too bad about Rodgers, man. Oh, you know, all this crap, like fake concern and stuff. And I'm like, I can't wait to face that guy and squash his team like a grape. All right, Joel, if you're listening, and you're probably the only guy who is, I'm coming for you. And you're not as smart as you think you are. You got lucky in week one. And don't overreact to week one. Give it 3 weeks. If your guys still suck like my Chris Hogan did, then you can think about replacing them. But really, fantasy at your draft, give them some time. They cannot be as bad as they look in week one, and they're not as good as they looked in week one.
No. See, gang, I told you at the beginning of the show, this is a different kind of fantasy football podcast. We love each other. We love the guys in our league. But we will not hesitate to tell you when you're fucking up.
Fucked that up.
So,
yeah. Kavish.
I have something I might want to add.
Okay. All right.
I didn't bring it up. But since John did, let's talk about Chris Hogan.
Oh, I think I already did that.
Chris Hogan. So, I don't know if you paid attention on the news lately, but the Patriots have brought in not one, not two, but three free agent wide receivers to try them out for the team.
They are not happy with their wide receiver core right now.
Because they saw a bucket of hot rotting garbage out on the field.
Hot rotting garbage.
Hot.
No.
That should
no.
be the name
rotting
of
garbage.
No.
I think that might be the name of your team next year. Or maybe even next week, John. But so let's look at the stat line here. Chris Hogan, who I'm on record as saying is way overrated, way overdrafted, hasn't done anything. He's going to turn 30. He had one reception, 11 yards, and that's it. That's the entire stat line. And I noticed you put him on your bench this week.
I did. He's just waiting. He's just waiting there until I put him back in my lineup. But they have a really tough matchup this week. I'm not going to start Burkhead. I'm not starting Hogan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he pooped in his big boy pants.
They're going against Jacksonville, so I can see the sit.
You don't start Chris Hogan against Jacksonville. They're going to shut him down.
Yes.
And they did bring in some other receivers, but it's not because Chris Hogan sucks so much. It's because they had no receivers behind Chris Hogan and who are the Dorsett.
Yes.
And they had one other guy. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
Chris Hogan looked like he was carrying a piano on his back. His route runs were so slow.
You'll be sorry, Greg.
You could have outrun him.
You'll be sorry you didn't draft Chris Hogan. But you never draft any Patriots, so it doesn't matter.
All right, and that is our recap of the last weekend. Stay tuned for our next segment. Our next segment we like to call Scoops and Dupes.
Yeah.
And I think at the top, we, you know, in our, the last segment, we kind of touched on a little bit of the Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr activity from Joel. You know?
Yeah, there's more.
That was, maybe Joel was a little premature in dropping Carr. Maybe he's prophetic and maybe he knows something we don't. I'll give him that.
I will not be picking up Derek Carr.
Yeah, I'm not interested in picking up Derek Carr. But if you're listening and you're thinking, oh shit, Joel dropped Derek Carr, get on it. Heisenberg, get on it. You're at the top of the waiver order right now. You could have him. You could have him. All right, so who else did we have, do we see come through? What were the other transactions?
Well, besides Edison dropping the worst picks of the draft, Jeremy Hill and J.D. McKissick, which everyone saw coming.
Yes, I think those guys started the season on the practice squad.
They
started the season injured. They didn't even get into game one.
J.D. McKissick on IR before. Of course, so was McKinnon. He went on. So anybody with a yeah. Mick, and that includes you, Park. Just get rid of them. So I would say Armchair Assassins needed a quarterback. He had Nick Foles, who did not look good, and he needed another quarterback. He's waiting for, I believe, Carson Wentz to get back.
Yeah, yeah, which word is right now it's still going to be a couple weeks.
So first waiver ad was Fitzpatrick. I think it's a good one. He needed a QB. He got one.
I got to be honest. I'm gonna counter that.
Yep.
So I completely agree with you.
You're
Nick Foles need I do counter a lot, don't I? But Nick Foles looked horrible against Atlanta on Thursday night. But this is where the dupes side of Scoops and Dupes comes in, because
I think we're all
duped by the first week numbers, astronomical numbers that Ryan Fitzpatrick put up.
Fitzmagic.
417 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a rushing score. So he had 5 touchdowns for 53 fantasy points.
Yeah, I'd like a piece of that.
Amazing, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Guess who he goes against in week 2? The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
So
he's
going to
hit a buzzsaw.
I think the dupes are coming out, and this is where I think that we learn why Ryan Fitzpatrick is a career backup.
Well, your point here being that we've seen him do this before. He has these huge monster games, and everyone's just like, oh my God, where'd this guy come from? He's been riding the bench this entire time. Look at him.
Amazing.
And then you actually pick him up and start him, and it's like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Sorry, Brent. I know you're not listening.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to be disappointed by Ryan Fitzpatrick's follow-up.
Ghost,
yeah.
When you hear this podcast, which you won't, you will soon regret that pickup.
The ghost of that.
The guy with the second worst record went next, and that would be our commissioner. Hmm. And he made a nice one. Quincy Enunwa, underrated.
Thank you, John.
I like this pickup a lot. I would like to have seen you take a running back because I think they're more valuable. I think there are a couple of good ones, but... You needed a wide receiver to replace Crowder. He was a good drop. Enunwa, great pickup.
Well, that's my only thing. I think Enunwa is a great pickup, but I'm not sure Crowder's the right drop there.
Who would you have dropped?
I mean, you know, I would have to look at Kamish's lineup, Riggs. But I think probably I would have dropped.
You got a lot of options there.
I mean,
Kenyon Drake.
You got definitely want to drop Drake.
I think I would have dropped probably Cole.
Oh, Keelan Cole.
Yeah. No.
I would have dropped Cole.
Keelan Cole's in for a big week, and I actually really debated on putting him in my flex against New England.
I would have dropped either Cole or I would have dropped Duke Johnson purely because I'm a Browns fan. I love the Browns, but he's still playing for the Browns.
Yeah.
And he will always be cursed.
And there's a lot of better options.
He's
Johnson,
Hyde and Chubb.
Johnson had a good year last year because there was nobody else. Now he's got a lot of good players around him. Josh Gordon,
it's good.
Jarvis
it's
Landry,
good
Carlos Hyde.
Yeah,
you could have dumped that guy. But I still like Keelan Cole, so yeah. I wouldn't have dropped him.
I think both of those, because before week one, I picked up Keelan Cole and dropped Allen Hurns, the forgotten one in Dallas.
Allen Hurns!
Like all of the wide receivers. And Keenan Wu. I feel like the two weakest part of my drafts, I upgraded a little bit.
Yep. Moving on from the commish, we got Park Duffy. No, wait. Sorry.
I got a comment on this one.
Number one of by land. Yep.
I think Duffy. Hey, buddy. I see your play there. You're trying to get the handcuff for Fournette. But you drop potentially one of the great keepers, that potential for next year, Baker Mayfield. He may not be, you know, blasting the doors off everything in Cleveland this year. But we do keepers. I think that might have been a miss.
I think so too. But that is one of the eternal arguments. The eternal internal arguments when in this league, as a 2 QB keeper league.
I knew you were going to bring up the 2 QB thing.
But that's important to point out when you're talking about keeping Baker Mayfield.
It's true.
You know, it's... They are so, and I can't. What round did he pick up Mayfield?
It was like the eighth or ninth round.
No, it was later than that.
14th or something like that, wasn't it?
I could have been wrong. It may have been the fireball shots.
You're just making this shit up.
I think it was at least in the double digits. But the point is that odds are good at some point this season, Baker Mayfield will become the starter.
Hey, I'm the Tyrod Taylor owner. I'm betting against that.
Exactly. You're hoping that that's not coming to fruition, right?
Again, speaking as the Browns fan,
right?
Tyrod Taylor, great quarterback. I love Tyrod Taylor
for fantasy.
Well, I love him. I think he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Good quarterback.
The problem that he has is that he is a quarterback on the Cleveland Browns, and there is the Cleveland Browns curse that I wholeheartedly buy into.
Nope,
and that. Even if they go and they win the next 15 games, they get into the playoffs, right before they go to the Super Bowl, he will get some season-ending injury that will put him down. This is how the Browns work.
But they're off to the best start they've had in 14 years.
Yes. A tie.
Only the Browns. 0-0-1 is the best tie the best start they've had since 2004.
Okay.
A tie is the most Brownsian way of winning a game.
Six turnovers by Pittsburgh and they couldn't beat them. That's bad. They won the turnover battle by six.
For context.
Okay, but this is not the Cleveland Browns show.
Moving. The weather was not
He great. Picked up T.J. Yeldon, which is actually a very good pickup. No, it's good.
He doesn't have Bell, so I can see where he picked up.
He needed running backs, and Fournette is always injured, and he's injured already, and Yeldon's not a bad pickup.
Well, let's look for a second. What would you have dropped? Like, who would you have dropped on his team? I would have dropped Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, easily.
I hate that guy.
Although... Yeah. Josh Allen is going to be throwing to him.
Nobody cares about the Buffalo Bills.
No, nobody cares.
Get rid of everything you can.
Wouldn't you drop your second tight end? If you have Gronk already, wouldn't you drop Jack Baby Hands Doyle?
Baby Hands!
I mean, you got E. Ebron there. Why Ebronics? Why wouldn't you go with dropping Doyle? That doesn't make sense to me.
I think he's probably keeping him for the bye week. Which
I know.
I get, but that's
he's
a lot
Irish.
To keep for a bye week.
Okay, up
right,
next,
who's the next?
Moist Meat Hammock, which is Dave and Lance's team.
The meat blankets.
Delanie Walker, easy drop. Yes. He got injured. He's got a really, really, really bad ankle thing.
Sorry, Delanie. We love you, bud.
And they picked up who looked like the best tight end in football this week.
For one week.
Jared Cook. That guy was freaking amazing. Jared, and you will never see that again this year.
He's a mirage.
Jared, one-week wonder cook.
There it is.
He does this every year to us.
Yes.
A couple years ago, it was Green Bay. Before that, it was the Rams. He does this. He'll have two or three great games in the year.
Yeah.
He's going against Denver. And then the vaunted Miami defense the week after that. Jared Cook, this may be the best week that he's had the whole season.
I think it's probably the best week of his entire career. But I think the kind of performance you saw with Cook is less indicative of how Carr will play with his tight end. Pun intended.
Boo. Yep. Look, you don't need to work blue.
And more indicative of play your tight ends against the Rams.
Yeah,
that's really what it's about.
Oh. Great point.
That's really what it's about.
Ram that tight end.
And do not play Amari Cooper against the Rams.
Yes. Amari Cooper did so bad.
Wow.
The Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, brought back Martavis.
Where's my pipe?
Yep. That guy's got trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. This is a curious one for me. Carry on, Mai, who he's trolling you with your wayward sons.
Yes.
He picked up a defense, but after speaking with him today, he made a mistake in his waiver order. He was actually trying to pick up the second running back for Denver, Philip Lindsay, but the priorities, he had it wrong. So he ended up trading out his defense where he really needed a running back.
Why don't you educate the listeners? What's the deal with priorities?
Priorities. What do you like first and second and third? And he just lined his up incorrectly, and that's what happens. So nobody else, I don't know why, went after Philip Lindsay. He fell all the way to Bulls on Parade, Joel, who had the last draft, and he was like the best running back available if you don't like Austin Eckler, who I did. So, curious.
Yeah, I will admit, I seriously considered picking up, going after Lindsay. I wasn't exactly sure who I wanted to drop. So because I wasn't sure who I wanted to drop, I decided to just kind of let things ride for another week. Also, we've only seen 1 week of Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what he looks like moving forward. And I was very surprised to wake up this morning and Wednesday morning and see that he had fallen all the way down to Joel.
Yep.
Joel was the 10th pick in our waiver.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So congratulations, Joel.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, good job.
You're going to need it.
Can I just, before we move on, and I know we're going to, I wanted just to say one more thing. You can kind of look at what Edison did there. They're going against Oakland at home. They just put 20 points up for a fantasy defense, which is, let's say, pretty good. 20 points against Seattle, which is a pretty decent offense with Russell Wilson. They're going against Derek Carr, the hapless Derek Carr, and the Oakland Raiders in the Mile High Stadium. I think that's a decent play. Lindsay would have been a better pickup. You're absolutely right. But better swap out of defense.
He's going to be okay. Actually, while we're on here, let's talk about Chuck Norris.
Oh, Chuck Norris. You're going down this week, Caston. I'm telling you, big time.
So, gee, who's Caston playing?
So Dave dropped the New England Patriots defense and picked up the Bears defense.
That's a good pickup.
That's my question. Mm-hmm. We saw an amazing game,
mm-hmm.
first night of the season, with Khalil Mack nearly taking out Aaron Rodgers for the entire season.
It's a good pickup.
No, still
Does
a good
it
pickup.
Feel like it's going to be consistent.
Yes, yeah. Bears were pretty good. They were at least a top 8 or 9 team after last season. They had Khalil Mack. They're all of a sudden they're a top 5 defense. If I'm him, hold on to the Bears defense for the rest of the season and quit wasting your waiver claims on streaming defenses.
Well, yes. The Patriots, I think, are going to lose. This is going to be my upset special for the week.
Nope.
Okay. This is at Jacksonville. This is Jacksonville's home opener. The Hurricane Florence, if you haven't been following the news, is going to hit the Carolinas, and it's going to come across the south, Georgia, Florida, and that whole area.
And so this is the weather forecast for...
This is my weather forecast. I have not checked any...
is Jacksonville in North Carolina?
Just shut up, John. Just go with me on this.
My earbuds hurt.
There is gonna
I'm bitter.
There's going to be storm surge, okay? I feel like
Oh, he took off his glasses.
This is actually
he's pointing.
I'm taking off my earbuds.
This favors Leonard Fournette and the run game because I think this is going to be a weather game, kind of like the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. I think it's going to favor a run-heavy offense, and it's in Jacksonville. I think that this is going to be a loss for the Patriots, and I think it's a good idea to get out of the Patriots' defense.
So the other interesting thing while we're on that particular game. Actually, no. Let's save it. We'll talk
save
about
it,
and we'll talk about that.
Put
later.
It in your pocket
I
want to
make
for later.
A note to talk about that.
Note to self.
Patriots versus.
Oh, and next we're up. We got the next waiver wire pickup.
Whose is that?
John H.
Yep.
One if by Lance Smith.
Yes. One if by Lance.
You want to explain dropping Corey Clement?
Yeah, I do. It looks like Jay Ajayi is the clear number one, and Darren Sproles surprised me by being heavily involved. At the moment, Corey Clement is the third guy on that team. I know he was a Super Bowl hero, but right now I need somebody who can play today.
Yeah.
It looked like mm-hmm. he's just not going to be good until somebody gets hurt, and I didn't want to wait for that.
So, wait. So, you said you need somebody who will play today, so why'd you pick up Austin Eckler?
Because I liked Austin Eckler from last year. He looked great.
When he also had two games.
He just has Melvin Gordon in front of him, right?
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon's been an Iron Man.
Yeah.
His luck's going to run out. And
see,
then Austin Eckler.
I'm giving you a hard time because I did the same thing with Austin Eckler last year. Mm. I picked him up for a while.
Buyer's remorse.
Thinking, you know, this is going to be the guy. Gordon's going to go down. Or they're going to pass the torch. This is going to happen.
Praying for an injury.
And it never did. Or it never did in a way where you could actually start him.
All right, but this first week, Austin Eckler was involved. He got maybe 11 touches. He scored 21 points. He caught 87 yards in passing. Everyone caught a lot of balls in passing that game. I mean, Rivers threw for 400 and something yards. But he looks like they're like, maybe we need to preserve Melvin Gordon because we've got somebody who can play alongside him, kind of a Melvin, an Ingram, Kamara kind of thing. We got two really good backs. Let's use them both. And then they're both a little bit fresher and a little bit better. So do I want to start Eckler every week? No. No, I don't. But I like having that guy on my bench a little more than Corey Clement. And he's another running back, and you can never have enough
totally
of those.
That's totally fair, and I respect your opinion on this. I feel like you swapped a backup running back for a backup running back.
But a better backup.
And
well, I think
there's no
swapped,
denying he got 21 points in week one.
How many
he
did Corey Clement
involved,
get?
He
but
swapped.
They were also very far behind in KC.
To be clear, I think what John did is he swapped a number three running back, Corey Clement, for a number two running back in Austin Eckler that's actually being used.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And it's the backup to one of Joel's running backs, Melvin Gordon.
Ah.
Because as I said before, I am coming for you, Joel,
alert,
the Oracle of Atherton.
Alert.
We'll see how smart you are when Eckler comes in and eats your lunch.
Dude, you're on notice.
All right, moving on to our next.
Speaking of Joel.
Pick.
Can Joel. I take this one?
Yeah, go for it.
So,
listen, we love you, Joel.
Number one, I think in a lot of, you know, you listen to a lot of sports talk radio or whatever, Philip Lindsay, he flashed. He was big time in the Denver game.
Yes.
He is that spark that I think ignited that whole offense. That said, you know, this is Mr. Contrarian.
I have to give him this. It was actually a very good pickup.
It's a very good pickup, Joel.
I hate you.
What I'm about to say next is just the more of a cautionary note. We do a keeper league. Ronald Jones, they put a lot of draft capital, Tampa Bay, into Ronald Jones. They think he's a future running back that's going to be with them. I don't know if Peyton Barber is the future or Jaquizz Rodgers in Tampa Bay. I think they believe Ronald Jones is the future. He just may take him a full season to get there. So this could be a miss, just like the comment that I made earlier about Baker Mayfield. It's just more of a long-term play versus a short-term play. So, short-term, I think Lindsay is a great pickup. Well, long-term, Ronald Jones may be a better keeper.
I mean, in kind of referring back to your keeper comment, I think if you look at Joel's lineup right now, what I think you could see
he's
is
in
right,
trouble, by the way.
Right
he's
now.
He's in big-time trouble.
Well, who's right he playing?
211 points.
Yeah, that team is in shambles.
In our league, we have, for those of you who don't know, we have 6 bench spots. So currently, 2 out of Joel's 6 bench spots are two guys who are suspended.
Yeah, Joel likes those character guys.
So, you know, so Julian Edelman, he's never going to drop him. I could see a case to drop Jameis Winston to pick up, to hang on to Ronald Jones. Mm.
Derrick Henry.
Drop.
We got trouble.
Derrick Henry could be another drop.
That guy's a bum.
Latavius Murray is going through some injuries.
You
I
mean
think,
Lat Murray?
He? Yeah, Lat Murray.
All right, I'm going to give Joel a little love. Ronald Jones, that guy sucks. He's related to Roberto Duran. He's got hands of stone. He's never going to catch a pass in this fucking league.
Did you pull up
he sucks. Roberto Duran? That's right, Roberto Duran. He's related.
I love that.
He's his grandson, and I would have dropped Ronald Jones.
We are back and looking forward to week 2. What I am currently most interested and excited, I'll say excited to see,
ooh,
is
excited.
How Armchair Assassins does this weekend. Armchair Assassins had the lowest point total of any team last weekend. So he's got a lot to prove. A lot to prove this week. And he's got a solid team. He's got Russell Wilson. He's got Christian McCaffrey. He's got Saquon. He's got Stephon.
He's got a really solid team that just everybody underperformed last week. When I first looked after the draft, I thought he's one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the league. He's not going to perform like that every week.
So he's going up against the moist meat hammocks.
The meat blankets, as I like to call them.
our very own Captain and Tennille. And they had a great week in week 1, but ran into the Oracle himself. The Oracle of Atherton,
the
Joel
Oracle.
Brand.
The one-week buzzsaw.
Yeah, and still lost. So they scored 170 points and lost, which is unbelievable. But, you know, Joel scored, what was it, 211 points that week?
Yep.
So he had that that stack of Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. So that was not something.
And everybody else on his team just went as big as they could.
Yeah.
Evans and.
This looks to me, the meat blankets versus assassins.
Yes.
This looks to me like our low point scoring matchup of the week.
All right.
And I'll tell you a couple reasons. I don't think this is going to be a bounce back for Armchair.
Okay.
And the only I think he'll do better than his performance.
Look at his matchups.
But he's got Russell Wilson and Chris Carson on the road in Chicago on Monday night.
Ouch.
Not a great matchup for that.
Not
and good. Fitzmagic is going to be Fitz disastrous against the Philly defense.
Have the same ring to it.
So yeah, it didn't work. I'm working on it. But Fitzmagic against Philly defense is going to be trouble. So you got your 2 starting quarterbacks and one of your flex starters against a top 5 defense. You know, I think Barkley will be fine against Dallas. Diggs probably good against Green Bay.
But ASJ?
Probably, yeah, who knows? Austin Nefarious Jenkins, I think is going to be, they're going to be from behind maybe a little bit, but I think this is a run game. I think you're probably your best player on his team might be the Chargers defense at Buffalo.
No, I still like Christian McCaffrey at Atlanta. He's solid.
McCaffrey, Atlanta could be good.
Yeah. So he might get a good 40 points.
He could. But I think.
Or not.
But you look on the other
out
side
of his entire
you,
team.
You look at the meat blankets. I mean, you got Brady at Jacksonville.
Not good.
I don't like that.
Yeah. No. I don't like Freeman at Carolina. You know, there's some matchups here. Graham, Minnesota. There's things I don't like against, you know, the Crow. At the vaunted Miami defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is
a low scoring affair.
It's low scoring for both. I think Meat Hammocks takes this.
Well, just if you look at their projections, they're both projected under 140.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you think Armchair's going to go 0-2?
He's going to go 0-4.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How far the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, he could make some moves. Yes. I mean, I would get Randall Cobb in there instead of Chris Carson in the flex spot, but
You know what? He's got to not be making some alterations because he's sitting Alex Collins right now. There's no way he's going to sit Alex Collins.
Armchair's not going to do his thing until right before kickoff on Thursday night. He's not showing you his hand yet.
Including not listening to this podcast.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call it a stone cold lock of the week. Sammy Watkins at Pittsburgh is going to be a great play. Okay, they're going to be locking down Tyreek Hill.
This is
going to be my play of the week.
So this is our portion of the show where the commish talks completely out
of his ass.
This is a sneak pick. And, you know,
you
Brent, I know you're not listening to this.
Guy.
Brent, I know you're not listening to this. Sammy Watkins, Jared Cook. You got to play Jared Cook instead of Austin Nefarious Jenkins, right?
Yes, absolutely. But he doesn't have Jared Cook.
He does.
He
has him on his bench.
Like I said, he hasn't even set his roster yet. This is what Brent does. He's going to wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
So I like Brent's team. I think the hammock overperformed, and I think Brent underperformed. I like Brent this week.
Okay.
So who else are you guys looking to see how they respond?
Well, I want to see Team Duffy take out Bulls on Parade. And it's not a personal thing, but it is. Joel, Mr. Troll on the chat line.
What do you think about the matchups?
I'm looking for him to go down. He's already got Philip Lindsay in his starting lineup. So it just shows how strong he felt his team was. Derrick Henry on the bench.
You got Mahomes going up against the Steelers.
At Pittsburgh. And then Tannehill, it doesn't matter where he's playing.
That's where the angel call comes back down from the heavens.
Yeah. Mike Evans against Philadelphia, not a great matchup.
No.
Michael Thomas, okay. I like that one.
Cleveland's defense did pretty well last week.
They're really not terrible.
Defense. Yeah, so
Miles Garrett is amazing.
We'll see.
Tyreek Hill at Pittsburgh with okay.
So I really want to see how Philip Lindsay does in week two. Mm-hmm. I want to see if he's...
Is he a one-hit wonder?
I like
Tyreek Cohen last year.
I like his matchup. They got Oakland, but they're on the road.
Yeah, but does that turn into a Royce Freeman?
Nope, they're home against Oakland.
Yeah.
I want to see if it goes back to Royce.
I like Denver to have a pretty big lead in this game and Royce Freeman to be the guy getting the rock at the end, grinding out the clock, hopefully getting the short yardage stuff because I'm a Royce Freeman owner. I won't lie.
And just like I said in the last matchup, this is where the commissioner talks out of the rear end here. But I'm going to call it, I think Tyreek Hill gets shut way the hell down. He's not going to be a shadow of what he was last year. Pittsburgh, Tomlin, these guys are going to like lock this guy down. That's why I did Sammy Watkins as my play of the week because I think Pittsburgh is going to be so focused on Tyreek Hill that Watkins has an opportunity.
I think you're going to see Kareem Hunt have a big bounce back.
That's a good call.
You know, against the Steelers. I think you're going to see that big time.
That's a great call.
Who's that?
Kareem Hunt.
Oh. Not on this roster, but
no, you know. but in that particular game against the Steelers, as opposed to Tyreek Hill,
you can't watch the footage for the Tyreek Hill show last week, and not scheme your defense around that guy.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh does not have a great defense anymore. They're okay. They're just okay. They're not great.
Okay.
All right. I like Park Duffy's team on this week.
You picking Park?
No, but I like his team this week.
You just don't like Joel.
Nope, not this week.
Gronk is going to be locked down against Jacksonville. I do like Tyler Lockett as a sneaky play against Chicago.
I think I would not be surprised to see Team Duffy come out with a win this week, because I think I think you saw such a huge game out of Mahomes and Hill last week that it's just, there's no way it's going to repeat again. I don't think Philip Lindsay is going to produce in the way I think that people would be expecting. Tannehill is going to get Tana spanked.
Let's talk about Duffy. Jay Ajayi at Tampa. I like that matchup.
I like that juicy matchup.
That's juicy.
Carlos Hyde at New Orleans. I don't know about that. But
Big Ben at home against KC, yep. I love.
P. Rivers against Buffalo.
T.Y. Hilton at Washington.
Buffalo made Flacco look like he was the quarterback number five.
Yeah.
So crazy. Think about Rivers' numbers. Mm. Okay. Yeah,
Kenny Stills at the Jets. That's going to be a great matchup for him.
And I know it's against the Jags, but Gronk is still going to get a lot of action.
Well, he's the only guy who's going to get open because everybody else on the Jags is going to be the Jags have great corners, but I don't know about their linebackers. And nobody can stop Gronk.
Yeah, and we would be so remiss if we did not mention the guy on Team Duffy's bench,
Le'Veon Bell.
What is going on in Le'Veon Bell land?
Seriously.
They've taken him off the depth chart. Now, everything I'm reading is folks are just saying that's a procedural thing. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's not indicative of a trade or anything like that.
Right.
But what's going to happen here? What do you guys, if you have, look in your crystal ball, and what do you think is going to happen here?
I think Le'Veon Bell probably can go 3-4 weeks before he comes begging to come back to Pittsburgh.
Begging?
Yeah.
He's going to beg?
Well, James Conner is going to just keep lighting it up. And Ed, I got to give you kudos for that. Best pick of the draft at the moment looks like James Conner.
Yes. Freaking amazing.
That was freaking amazing. So James Conner's a legit number one back on any team.
Yes.
Le'Veon Bell's out of the way, and the team is rallying behind James Conner.
I think you're right, John. I think
they block hard for that guy.
Yeah, they want that guy, and he's a local kid. Yeah. He went to high school in Pittsburgh. He went to Pitt. I mean, he's a natural fit for that community.
He's sleeping with Tomlin's daughter. I'm just guessing.
That can't be confirmed or denied.
Yeah, yes.
He will be soon enough if he keeps playing this well.
I will say, though,
I'd like to. I've seen Tomlin's
daughter.
She's a little young.
Ed, though, I think he's, at this point, I don't see an advantage in terms of a contract negotiation for him coming back earlier. I see him holding out until week 10. So that he can keep his status as a full-time roster and be eligible for free agency.
I'll tell you what is to his advantage is $850,000 a week.
That's
a lot of Kwan.
Yeah.
That money.
I could see him doing that.
Nice Jerry Maguire
one week.
Thank you.
I could see him doing that like this first week and a second week, but once you start getting into the 3, 4, almost $5 million. Like, that's a lot of money you're losing.
Yeah.
And once everyone starts totaling up how much money you're losing, how much money you're walking away from, that doesn't buy you sympathy from the people who already feel like you're kind of screwing them over.
Plus, I think it hurts him as a free agent because they're going to say, like, wow, maybe Le'Veon Bell wasn't as good as we all think he is, because look how well this other guy, James Conner, who's making less than $1 million a year,
yep,
is doing behind that line. Who knows how to run block.
Right. All right, so let's move on to the next matchup. And we have 0-1 Kamish going up against 1-0 Chuck Norris. Kamish, how are you going to pull your team out of this one-week nosedive?
I tell you what. I do not fall prey to the week one tilt. the overreaction of week one results doesn't have any value with me. So I look at week one as basically the dress rehearsal that should have been the preseason. So now we kind of know who we are. I have some concerns on my team.
On your team. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And I scored 114 points, so I should have concerns.
Yes, you should.
I'm just being really dead honest here. Yeah. Stafford, four picks, not good. He scored 10 points, and that was my highest scoring quarterback. Yes. So that is not good.
Do not overreact to Matt Stafford. That guy's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
He's
when you make that kind of money, they've seen what he can do. This was an aberration.
It was a total outlier. Back.
This does come back to our earlier conversation about Matt Patricia.
Yep.
If he loses or has lost the vets in that locker room, how does that eventually translate or transfer to someone like Stafford, who is a professional and is going out there and doing his job, but if the guys around him are not feeling it.
Yeah. I think this is Matt Stafford's team, not Matt Patricia's team. And I think
he needs to own it.
He does. Yeah. I completely agree with you. I think that Matt Stafford right now needs to have a freaking conversation, team members only conference room meeting with his team and say, this guy's...
After week one. We got to close the doors.
This is a week of reckoning. Okay, because I'm gonna tell you, I'm going to throw out my stat of the week.
Stat of the week.
Stat of the week is since 1990, when the NFL expanded the playoffs to 12
playoffs?
Teams.
Playoffs? Okay.
They expanded the playoffs to 12 teams.
Yes.
Teams that started the season 0-2 made the playoffs 10% of the time. So this is a pivotal week. So teams that are 0-1 right now, they are fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah.
And Detroit is going against San Francisco, who is also 0-1. So you got two 0-1 teams trying not to be that 10%. So each of those teams are going to be fighting for their lives. I think ultimately Stafford and his talent is going to prevail over San Francisco. But I think it's going to be a very tight game in Levi Stadium.
So, John, which quarterback has the most pressure and which one will actually perform out of Stafford and Jimmy Garoppolo?
I think there's a lot more pressure on Stafford. I think Garoppolo looked okay. He had a really tough matchup in week one against Minnesota in Minnesota. Stafford threw four picks and didn't look good doing it. Garoppolo, he'll be fine, and I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him. So the pressure's on Stafford this week.
Relatively speaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in with his team, with those guys.
He made some good throws. He just had a really tough matchup. I don't know what Detroit's excuse is.
You know, so just going down the roster here, you got Breeze against Cleveland. I think that's a tougher matchup than on paper than you might think, but it's at New Orleans, so you know it gives you a little bit of the edge there. Ryan, I think, is going to have a bounce back. He went against probably the toughest defense in Philly last Thursday. He's going against Carolina. There's no Josh Norman. There's no tough secondary there. I think Ryan will have a bounce back. Howard Johnson, I think Howard Johnson. Did I just say Howard?
That's a good lineup.
Wow, Howard Johnson, Keenan Allen, Sanders. I feel confident in this group.
Great skill position
Drake
players.
Drake in the flex, and I punched in Inunua against Miami. I think he's a sneaky pick. My Texans defense at Tennessee without Mariota or Delanie Walker. I'm feeling good. Right now,
Mariota is confirmed to be playing.
Okay,
that's the latest, at least.
Good for you.
What I'm most interested in seeing is what happens with Zeke this week, because the Cowboys did a terrible job,
awful,
of getting him involved in that game. And right now, and this is just one of the challenges when you're playing fantasy football. Is you look at the projected numbers.
It's garbage.
It's trash. They mean nothing.
You got to go on the eye test.
Yeah, right now, In our fantasy football app and half point PPR, Zeke is being projected to score 20 points going up against the Giants.
Now, bullshit!
Yeah, I think it might be bullshit.
Who knows?
Hey, that Dallas team, they stink. Ezekiel Elliott is just not going to get a lot of anything on that team. They're terrible.
Well, I think part of the thing is that the challenge for the Cowboys is that Zeke is all they have.
Yeah. Yep.
Everything is directed towards Zeke. Right. Nobody else can produce.
So if you're a defensive coordinator, put 9 men in the box and stop Zeke, because Dak Prescott will not beat you.
Put 10 in the box.
No.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Forget what I said. 10.
Yeah, so
one free safety and 10 guys rushing the passer.
It is interesting to see that that Kasten has Golden Tate. So he has Golden Tate to your Matt Stafford, which will be interesting to see how those two pair up. And it will be interesting to see how Kelce does this week with Mahomes. See if he has a little bit of a bounce back.
He had a crappy first week.
And also Josh Gordon, who has officially been named a starter for this week. He's not being, held to a pitch count. It's going to be interesting. And A.J. Green. I mean, A.J. Green had
Baltimore.
Tough matchup.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. So
it's a toss-up. I mean, the advantage right now on the projection shows Kamish winning 2.6 points.
No, it doesn't.
It's basically a push.
Chuck
North.
What I meant to say is I'm the underdog.
It's a pick-em. These projections are crap.
Yeah. So,
all right, next matchup, we have Team Heisenberg. 0-1 Team Heisenberg going up against 1-0 Oneth by Land. Mm.
Yeah.
John, how are you feeling about this matchup?
I like my team, but I don't like the condition they're in. Fournette with that mild hemi, Rodgers with one leg.
They're still not sure.
Devontae Adams, there's something wrong with that guy. I'm not sure what it is. Everybody else is just okay.
Okay, Mr. Glass half empty.
No, I'm not super excited, but I've got Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, you've got Kamara, but this is the challenge that you have this week with Kamara. He had an amazing first week.
You are not kidding.
Super Camario.
And not a lot of touches, like always.
But so just the ones that mattered.
Yeah. Well, he just...
Every single one was shocked.
I was like, I was hopeful, but I was shocked. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
And he's currently projected to get 21.1 points.
Yep. And Fournette's projected for 14, but he may not finish the first quarter.
He may not even be playing.
Rodgers may not even be in there. So,
yeah.
But I do have...
pretty even matched.
If Rodgers can't go, I think I'm going to have to bench Adams to go with that, because we don't have Hundley throwing to him, who is really good.
Yeah.
So then I've got Tyrod Taylor going into that spot. Tywad. And then I'll have to find somebody else to go in there. I'm not sure who. Maybe Jamal Williams. If Rodgers isn't in there.
Right. Yeah. No, that's
Jamal Williams. That's not a bad they're going to run the ball. And let's hope for that. I've got all my eggs are in like 5 or 6 baskets. My whole team is comprised of 5 or 6 teams, and that's
about
it.
You kind of like Zach Ertz at Tampa Bay, though.
Oh,
yeah, that's,
I do.
That's a play of the week.
But you have Nick Foles throwing him the ball, who's
iffy so far this season.
Ertz was okay week one.
You're doubling up on that because you got Aguilar also.
Yep, Ertz had a couple of drops in week one, but I don't see that happening. He's not fumble fingers, so I like my chances. Heisenberg.
Yeah, so Heisenberg has a lot of guys that have have the potential for a bounce back week in week two,
big time.
You got Cam, who really needs. You really got Jimmy, Cam, Kareem Hunt, Amari Cooper, Njoku. Really, most of his lineup.
Yep.
could go for a big bounce back week.
I think he's gonna. I think he'll probably switch out Tariq Cohen for somebody. But I'm looking at his roster and maybe not. There's nobody else there.
His bench is thin. Maybe Fuller, but I think
Will Fuller will not play.
Bilal against Miami.
I would definitely put Bilal Powell on there.
Can I make one quick statement? Atlanta defense. So something that got underreported in the Thursday night game, which seems like it's a month ago, they lost two critical defenders.
Yes.
Neil and Jones. Not Julio Jones, Deion Jones, who's like their probably the second most talented person that was on the field. He's a big run stopper, and Neil is a major player in the secondary. So Atlanta's defense takes a huge step back because it's kind of crazy. We don't think of Atlanta as being a strong defense, but they were a top 10 defense last year.
So you think Cam Newton and might have a big game,
I think Newton, I think all of your Carolina guys could have a big game. So I'm just, it's just a watch out. I think Newton could really blow up because I think Atlanta could be behind in that game.
I think you could also see some actual regression in week two, not permanent, just for the week, from Joe Mixon going up against the Ravens D.
Good chance there. And
most likely.
I think Juju, I love Juju, but I think with Big Ben's elbow injury that's going on.
That's right.
And not necessarily having the weather conditions they're going to have to go to, that they're going to have to deal with. You know, you're going to see even more action going to Antonio than what you did last week. So if I had to pick a couple of guys to have some regression on Heisenberg's team, I would probably pick Mixon and Juju.
Yeah.
Let me just say this before I'm done. Nobody wants Aaron Rodgers to sit this week in Green Bay more than I do. I want that guy healthy. I need him for
Devontae.
I want him to sit. Okay. As much as I love having him, I'll throw Tyrod Taylor in there and hope for the best.
Yeah.
I want him to get healthy because I need him for the rest of the season.
Right. Right.
But also, Green Bay's going up against the Minnesota defense, who I also own. So if they actually sit him, that helps me.
That's good. Yeah.
That's actually
that's a good play. Yeah. It's a good play. And I'll figure it out from there. But that's what I'm hoping for.
That's a good
play. Sit Aaron Rodgers. Jamal Williams, Minnesota. I know.
He's
my number one
Adams.
Pick. He's my number one pick, and I want him to bench that guy. It's a stupid move to play him this
week.
And
if he's playing, if he is playing in the game, you got to start him. There's no question about that.
Yeah, if they're crazy enough to start him, I'm crazy enough to start him.
Yeah. All right, and the next game we got here is my team. 1-0 Wayward Sons versus the just barely 1-0.
A win's a win.
Edison Sosa's team, which is, he's trying to mock me.
He won by 2 points.
But he won. He
carry
won.
On
good
my
he did.
Yeah. Versus Wayward Sons.
Yes, yes. That's Edison's idea of a joke. So... So
his wife is the comedian in the family.
yeah, that's obvious. That's obvious. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. Like I'm not worried about Cousins in Green Bay. I'm actually expecting Watson to have a big game against Tennessee. I think he's going to have a bounce back week. I love Connor. I think he's going to do great. I don't expect him to get me the 32 points he got last week, because that was just sort of that was partly game script in that weather against the Browns. Deion Lewis, I love because he was the more efficient back there in Tennessee last week. Derrick Henry, who you can just drop him. Then Odell's going up against the Panthers. I think he's going to be solid. He's going to be fine. He's going to get his action.
His quarterback sucks, but he still gets this point.
Odell against Dallas,
You know, going up against Dallas, I mean, he's going to be fine. And Thielen, I have the Cousins-Thielen stack. I would like to see that get some big
That's
numbers.
A good play.
Yeah. And Jordan Reed, he's healthy, so you play him. Period.
Rule 86.
Is this the game?
Yeah.
This is Rule 86.
Yeah.
Except that it's against the Colts.
Oh, he could go really large in this game?
Yeah, this could be big.
If he finishes it, he's going to be a top five tight end.
Yeah, now the next one is Fitz against the Rams.
At L.A.
At L.A., yeah.
Not a big home field advantage because nobody shows up.
It's not going to be great, but it's Fitz. I have to play him.
You can't bench him.
Absolutely.
I have to play him. So You know, and then this is where it gets interesting for me.
I love
me.
Tevin so Coleman.
I love Tevin Coleman. I love him. He could end up the starter this weekend because there's still some murmurs that Devonta might sit. If Tevin's starting, I have to start him. But if he doesn't, if he's not the starter and Devonta is actually in the game, I'm thinking about James White. Because I think that Jacksonville's going to shut down that shitty wide receiver core that they have. And Brady is going to
Are you talking about my guy, Chris Hogan? You son of a bitch.
The guy you have on your bench?
Yes.
I think he sucks too.
Yeah, obviously you have a lot of confidence.
But I drafted him early. So
I think that's going
to
be interesting.
So on that note, I think this goes back to what I said earlier. Dramatic glasses release there. So this goes back to what I said about Atlanta defense is going to suck this week. And I really like the upside in Carolina. I think the game script really plays to Tevin Coleman on this versus a ground and pound kind of a offense. I think they're going to have to pass a lot. I think they're going to be behind. I think Carolina is going to be up a lot in this game.
See, if I really wanted to play with my big boy pants on, I would bench Fitz and start White and Coleman in my flex.
You've got enough running backs now. None of them are number ones, but they're all really good. Actually, I'm just kidding. Yeah. James Conner's a serious number one.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So
look at all the running backs.
There's a guy on your bench. There's a guy on your bench that we haven't talked about.
Ah, yes.
So,
Mr. Kerryon Johnson.
Kerryon, my wayward son.
Is it that time? So, he named his team after the guy.
Yeah.
So when I look at what happened in Detroit in the absolute shit show that was the Monday Night Football game, I think, and LeGarrette Blount is banged up.
Yeah.
You know, he left the game with a knee injury. I think they need to do something drastic, and I can completely see that team, like, going for the max effort, and they're going to put in Kerryon and try to go that route. He's such a talented running back.
Yeah, he totally is.
I can see them wanting to go that route because he's an all-purpose back.
See, if we were having this conversation and it was 3, 4, 5 weeks in and Matt Patricia's job was on the line...
Which it will be.
It won't be in week 2.
Right.
I don't know. Patricia, week 2, coming out of that Belichick, like, hard-ass school... Like, I just think that guy is going to probably stick to the same script he had before.
What, 15 running plays? That was terrible.
Yes.
You can't throw
75
it.
75 passing plays, 15 running
plays. That's not how it really went.
They got to balance that.
It was, no, it was like 50 to 15.
And the only reason, and I agree with what you're saying, is they're going to give him a longer leash.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got to do something in Detroit to mix it up.
Yeah.
And the only they were moving the ball was when Kerryon was in the game.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I look at my lineup and it is definitely something I'm considering.
You're not dropping Kerryon Johnson, but maybe you're not starting him.
Yeah. I'm not dropping him.
I know. I'm not saying drop him. I'm just saying. You're not dropping him, but maybe you don't start him. I'd like to see another week and see if Patricia can get his head together.
Yeah, I want to figure out what they're
doing. Now's not the time to gamble on that kind of thing.
But I think he could blow up.
He could. He totally could. Then I will start him and never bench him after that if he does have a week that he blows up. But I think it's right now, it's like, do I think I can beat Edison without taking the risk with Kerryon? And I think that's possible.
Okay.
Because I think... Alex Smith is going to have a solid game. Alex Smith is a solid quarterback against the Colts. He's going to be fine.
Darnold's going to have his hands full with Miami defense.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sure he's scared right now.
Gurley's going to be a monster again.
Yes. McCoy against the Chargers.
No way, man.
Not going to happen.
Hopkins against Tennessee. I like his chances.
Yeah, he's good.
You've offset.
Yeah. Yeah, so offset. And I've got Watson, so we should sort of offset each other.
He's got Antonio Brown.
Holy shit, he's going to go crazy.
He's going to go freaking crazy.
George Kittle should torch Detroit. George Kittle looked really good. You got a problem on your hands there, Mr.
Julio. They're going to be playing for
Julio, it's going to against the Panthers. We'll see what the game script dictates.
Yeah, but though he's going to be Julio.
Heavily invested in
Marvin Jones is starting this week and at SF. Ooh.
It's Broncos
Denver D.
Yeah, it's going to be tight.
Keep in mind, this is also the same exact lineup he had last week.
No, it isn't. He didn't have Marvin Jones was not in there last week.
Okay, so 99% of his lineup is the same.
I'm not sure if that math works, but I'll give it to you.
It's gonna.
You're not a math major. You're a writer.
Put a lot of stock.
You're good at punctuation, but when it comes to adding,
so guys, I think you can't put a lot of stock on the projections until you get to like week 4 or week 5 when you really know what a team is about.
Right.
Week 1, 2, 3, 4, you just don't know what you're gonna get. It's about the eye test.
Yep. But he's starting Marvin Jones, and as we know, Detroit sucks. Big.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be it'll be an interesting matchup, and we'll see how everyone does.
Yep.
All right, any final thoughts for this week's show?
Yeah, I hope Joel's team goes down in flames. Aww, so he won't feel as smart as he does today.
And you're going to be so screwed if he wins.
No, I won't. I won't, because all I have to do is beat him myself. You know, if the rest of you guys can't knock off that guy, I'll take it. I'll take it.
My.
When do I get that guy anyway? What's my schedule? Joel, I'm coming for you, biatch.
So my take is, look at all of the teams that are 0-1.
Bulls on parade.
These teams are going to be fighting for their playoff lives. So I would maybe give them a little extra edge in this coming week's matchup, because I think those 0-1 teams are going to have some extra fight in them. Yeah. So just when you set your rosters, just think about that. That would be my thing.
All right.
Okay, last thing. Week 6, Joel. Week 6.
Week 6.
Okay.
Joel, I got you, babe.
He's coming for you week 6.
Babe, I got you, babe.
All right, gang. That is our show for this week. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find the Sons of Atherton Fantasy Football Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Sons of Atherton. And stay tuned next week for our next episode. Thanks for listening.